Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we said it yesterday. We didn't want to raise expectations too much, as we said, but we were hoping that there would be no bad martinis. The specific hope was maybe even all good martinis. But there are no bad martinis today. It was that good of a night for Mitt Romney, that good of a night for conservatives in a lot of ways. First of all, a little bit of a montage here of some of the best Mitt Romney lines that really, I think, cut to the core against President Obama. The first one is when he went after all the money that President Obama spent on his beloved green energy programs that went nowhere.
But don't forget, you put $90 billion. Mm-hmm. Like 50 years worth of breaks into solar and wind, to Solyndra and Fisker and Tesla and EnterOne. I mean, I had a friend who said you don't just pick the winners and losers, you pick the losers.
Then Obama went to his old line of we got to get rid of tax breaks for companies that move jobs offshore. Romney had a pretty good response to that one.
You said you get a deduction for taking a plant overseas. Look, I've been in business for 25 years. I have no idea what you're talking about. I maybe need to get a new accountant. But the idea that you get a break for shipping jobs overseas is simply not the case.
And finally, in this montage, the president not doing too well on the issue of taxes, constantly going after Romney for allegedly having a $5 trillion tax plan and severely adding to the deficit, going to raise taxes on the middle class. I begged Romney yesterday to dismiss this heartily, and he did.
Look, I got five boys. I'm used to people saying something that's not always true, but just keep on repeating it and ultimately hoping I'll believe it. But that is not the case, all right? I will not reduce the taxes paid by high-income Americans. And number three, I will not, under any circumstances, raise taxes on middle-income families. I will lower taxes on middle-income families.
And Jim, it got even better. There was an extended back and forth over the IPAB, Independent Payment Advisory Board, on the government refusing to pay for certain services in the future. Romney definitely owned the night.
Greg, it says something about how good a debate was when we're about 5 minutes into the Three Martini Lunch and I have yet to say anything because we have so many good clips to play. Yeah, I guess maybe you could say the expectation games was kind of at work here, in that we had seen Romney be good in the primary presidential debates. I think the argument that, 20 debates being too many took a shot last night because Romney clearly came across as very well prepared for this. Barack Obama, who has not really debated anybody in the past 4 years, really did not come across as prepared. Romney just seemed to know what he wanted to do from the opening moments. I think I was, when as soon as he said, I have a 5-point plan, I kind of cringed, getting the feeling like, oh, here we go. And a lot of folks who try to give a list of ideas in a short period of time, and they end up spending too much time on the first ones and having to rush through the second ones, and they lose, track of which one is which and stuff. I counted 115 words. He summarized all five of his, job creation of ideas. It took less than a minute. It was unbelievably crisp and succinct and direct. Romney was just at the top of his game. We thought he'd be pretty good, but let's face it, with, all the, missteps and things that have not quite gone his way in the last couple of weeks, probably a lot of conservatives went into this saying, oh, I hope he's good. And then watching it and are now everybody's just high-fiving and doing cartwheels this morning. He did fantastic. Despite the best efforts of the Obama campaign to lower expectations, let's face it, his supporters think he's the greatest speaker ever. And most Americans have gotten used to seeing him as this terrific, persuasive, charming guy. And he came across as just tired and meandering and unfocused, and it was just a terrible performance from him. And what's interesting is that instead of circling the wagons, a lot of folks on the left, the Andrew Sullivans, the Howard Feynmans, even the whole MSNBC crew, they expected better, and because they didn't try to make excuses, they were deeply disappointed by this. We had a lot of debates where either both of them have been pretty good, or they've been roughly akin, or maybe one guy was simply okay and the other guy was really good. This was one of the few we've seen in recent years in which one candidate was at the top of his game and the other one was at the pretty much at the bottom of his game. That was about as bad as we've seen Barack Obama appear on the public stage in maybe the past 6 years. This was a rout. It wasn't even close. All of the post-debate instant polling demonstrated this. 90-some percent of the analysis said this, although George Stephanopoulos said it was a tie, Greg. So, surprise, surprise that President Clinton's political advisor didn't think Romney did a good job. A night like this is really good for identifying the worst of the hacks.
And just to close off this delicious first martini that we're going to savor, this was pretty much how the night went for President Obama.
Because there's nothing better for getting us to a balanced budget than having more people working, earning more money, paying more taxes. That's by far the most effective and efficient way to get this budget balanced.
Jim, you may want to move on to another topic, but I would just say this to the American people.
When you don't want to talk about the number one issue anymore, or you're at least asking the moderator to help you out, which Jim Lehrer did a couple of times, you know the night's not going in your direction. So on to martini number two now, and as Jim mentioned, even over at MSNBC, it was a pretty gloomy night over there. It was almost about as dark as the night that Scott Walker won the recall election over in Wisconsin. And while there were plenty of rants over there, whether it was Ed Schultz, Al Sharpton was screaming for quite a while, but the night, of course, as usual, goes to Chris Matthews, and his biggest complaint about President Obama is that he hasn't been watching his show enough.
Where was Obama tonight? He should watch, well, not just Hardball. Rachel should watch you, he should watch the Reverend Al, he should watch Lawrence. He would learn something about this debate. There's a hot debate going on in this country. You know where it's being held? Here, on this network, is where we're having the debate. We have our knives out. We go after the people and the facts. What was he doing tonight? He went in there disarmed. He was like, oh, wait, an hour and a half, I think I can get through this thing, and I don't even look at this guy. Where's Romney? I love the split screen. Staring at Obama, addressing him like the prey. He did it just right.
I think the person angriest with that was Ed Schultz because he didn't get his show mentioned, Jim, but other than...
I hadn't even noticed that because obviously it's very easy to forget about Ed Schultz. Greg, an excellent point. I mean, it's such a revealing rant in so many ways, including the we have our knives out. Right. He began that rant by saying, well, this wasn't an MSNBC debate. No. You know, it didn't begin with everything being stacked and all the questions aimed to put Republicans on the defensive, et cetera, et cetera. But also, like, you could just see the anger there in his voice. It sounded kind of like the meltdown of the anchor in Network. Matthews is basically arguing that President Obama is ill-informed. The fact that Barack Obama does not watch any of MSNBC's primetime lineup probably is one of the nicest things you and I could say about him. We think it's one of the things he's doing right, Greg. But what he's basically saying is that on MSNBC, they have painted this picture of Romney as this arrogant, out-of-touch, greedy, selfish, cruel, callous miser that didn't fit the man up on that stage at all. And Matthews is furious that Obama didn't try it hard enough to make it stick. Quick observation on that. The Obama campaign's advertising against Romney has been relentlessly negative and relentlessly, you know, really painting this caricature. And it's rough and it's brutal and it is, you know, hardball politics, no pun intended, since we're talking about Chris Matthews. It's one thing to do that in an ad. It's another thing for the president himself to say Mitt Romney's a bad guy who doesn't care about your kids. Mitt Romney's a guy who's, you know, selfish and wants to see poor people suffer and stuff like that. One, it comes across as unbelievably nasty, and it hurts Obama's nice guy image and his favorability numbers and things like that. But two, Romney's right there to refute it. The big question of the left was, why didn't he mention Bain Capital or 47%? Maybe it's because Mitt Romney's got really good defenses on those things. Why didn't he mention tax returns? Well, maybe because Mitt Romney can talk about all the charitable contributions he makes, and that's, you know, that affects his tax rate. The Bain stuff, maybe Romney can point out all the jobs created because of the Bain investments. You know, on the 47%, Romney could have turned it to, look, we're becoming a more dependent society, and I want to fight against that force. I don't want to accelerate it. It says something that Obama didn't go to those, and it might be laziness, or it might be being flustered, or the high altitude, as Al Gore is contending now. But I think in the end, Obama just underestimated Romney from top to bottom. He either believed that he was the straw man caricature that he saw in his own ads. Barack Obama always has a very high opinion of himself. As he said after, you know, right before his big speech in 2004, I'm LeBron, baby. Well, sometimes LeBron James comes up empty in the playoffs. And this was it for Obama. He, you know, was totally convinced he knew what he was doing. And he walked in and really got exposed on that stage tonight. And it was a beautiful thing. As I put it in one of my posts, you know, the rest of the country saw the Barack Obama that you and I have been seeing for, you know, at least 4 and really 8 years.
There was a third person on the stage last night, Jim, as we transitioned to our third martini. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, the athletes when they still think they've got a little in the tank and they end up playing their last season with a different team than they played their entire career with. And You know, Joe Namath just didn't look right in a Rams uniform, or Johnny Unitas in a Chargers uniform, or Akeem Olajuwon in a Toronto Raptors uniform. It's kind of the impression I took away from Jim Lehrer last night. He's done a decent job of moderating these debates in the past, and last night it was pretty clear that he's probably never going to be back. Here's a montage of him trying to get control and never really succeeding.
Let's just stay on tactics. Let's just stay on tactics for a moment. Here.
Well, but what is virtually everything he just said about my tax plan is inaccurate.
All right. Which just is for the
these small businesses we're talking about.
Excuse me. Just so everybody understands. Yeah. We're way over our first 15 minutes.
It's fun, isn't it?
It's okay. It's great. Before, 2 minutes is up, sir.
No, I think I had 5 seconds before you interrupted me.
I have to respond to that. Which is.
And so Jim Lehrer got about two words out of his mouth every time he tried to say something, Jim. And some people like the fact that he kind of lost control and let the candidates just duke it out. But if anyone was interested in sticking to format, he pretty much failed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come across as picking on seasoned citizens, shall we say. But look, we know Jim Lehrer was getting up there in years, long in the tooth. And he had been doing these sorts of things for a long time. I think this was his seventh debate that he had been moderating. I think the format was actually pretty good. This was kind of a minimalist approach. The idea is give them topics and let them, you know, ideally talk to each other and focus upon questioning each other and just use the moderator to periodically steer it from topic to topic. The complaint from liberals is that Lehrer got steamrolled. I don't know if he came across as steamrolled or is just slow, halting, not ready to say, all right, gentlemen, move on to the next, you know. He was not in command of that stage. And, you know, it's nice to see a moderator who doesn't feel like the point is to make himself the show. It's nice to see someone who understands the focus should be on the candidates and that it's, you know, for much of the night, the moderator should be invisible. Those few times that Lehrer did pipe up, he just came across as a guy who was kind of just struggling to keep up and kind of not, you know, cooking on all four burners, so to speak. And so I wish Jim Lehrer a happy retirement. I think he did a fine job in most of his performances of these sorts of things. It says something that both parties generally trust him on these things, but I think it's also time for some new blood there. And I think that, as you said, this was Montana in his Kansas City Chiefs uniform or Favre in the Jets and Vikings uniforms, except Favre was actually pretty good as a Viking. So, you know, the metaphor only works so far. But yeah, it's time for Lehrer to kind of hang it up and turn it over to, oh, you know, Brett Baer. We can come up with all kinds of good names. Jake Tapper, you know, a lot of good folks who could have been good moderators for a debate tonight.
Good 24-year run, or at least a 20-year run since this one didn't go so well, but probably his last ride as a presidential debate moderator. Jim, fascinating evening. Let's hope the next three go somewhere even close to this well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Actually, you'll see me Monday, Greg.
Jim, we'll talk to you Monday.
There you go. See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us and join us tomorrow. I'll be with Dan Foster for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.